Robinhood Radio presents Your Health with osteopathic physician Dr. Kim Tripp, a show presented monthly on Robinhood Radio, discussing the challenges faced and the solutions that are available for keeping vital health and well-being throughout our lives. And now, here's Dr. Tripp.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp, osteopathic physician. This is the health show created to bring you vital information and discussion of all kinds of health issues on your mind from the unique perspective of traditional osteopathic medicine. And what we always do first is clarify for new listeners what osteopathic medicine means. Osteopathic medicine is practiced by fully licensed physicians in the United States with a DO degree, a Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine degree. Our practice is based on the essential relationship in all living things between structure and function. In other words, the natural interdependence between anatomy and physiology, or between the physics of the body and its chemistry. As osteopathic physicians, we use our comprehensive and precisely detailed knowledge of anatomy and physiology to promote health and healing in our patients. We work gently with our hands to help your body restore optimal function based on optimal structure. Our medical specialty is therefore called osteopathic manual medicine. We receive uniquely in-depth training in anatomy and physiology and their relationship within your body in the context of a full physician's medical training. Only U.S.-trained osteopaths are fully licensed physicians and have all of the current medical pharmacopoeia, nutritional science, and comprehensive medical training at our disposal. This means that your individual treatment may include a wide range of approaches, but it will always be founded on our gentle, hands-on work. We practice from the unique perspective of first looking for the health in our patients rather than merely finding illness and disease. Our practice has been especially effective for, but is not limited to, musculoskeletal and other structural issues, as well as problems like chronic headache, gastrointestinal problems, post-concussion syndrome, sleep disturbance, allergies, and many other health issues. We work together with you, the patient, to help you build health and vitality in your body, mind, and spirit as the solution for your health problems, rather than only treating the disease symptoms. So in the radio show, we tackle health issues from this point of view. What can we do to help you build your health and vitality in order to prevent and heal injuries and disease? And we do that by giving you some basic information about the problem to help you understand what's happening, as well as to offer solutions and guidance for helping yourself to heal and stay healthy based on our clinical experience with patients in our practice. Before we get started on today's topic, let me just remind you that you can listen to all of our prior Your Health shows online at your convenience, such as the shows on back pain, nutrition, carpal tunnel, concussion, by going to Robinhood Radio's website, then the on-demand section, then scroll all the way down and select the Your Health shows. Then you can click on the individual show by topic. It's an amazing convenience. So today, though, we are going to actually, here in the month of September, revisit the topic of seasonal allergies. We've talked about this common problem in the past, but I want to revisit it today with an update, given what a difficult time so many of you are having with fall seasonal allergies right now this year. So first, let's review what we mean by that. What are allergies anyway? Seasonal allergies are the spring and fall sneezes, runny nose, red and runny eyes, congestion, increased asthma attacks, cough, fatigue, and generally feeling blah, much more lower energy than usual, similar to the misery of having a cold without the actual virus. The timing seasonally depends on the person's specific allergies and the run of growth or flowering of the cause of the allergies. And we'll get into a little more detail on that in a minute. But meanwhile, let's continue talking about what the allergies actually are. Allergies are hypersensitivity reactions of our immune systems to substances that are not inherently harmful to most people. The allergies are the strong reaction of our immune system to something that seemingly does not actually require that strong of a reaction. For example, if you have a shellfish or a penicillin allergy, your body has a strong reaction to these substances that can trigger systemic responses ranging from a rash to life-threatening events like your airways closing up, making it impossible for you to breathe. Seasonal allergies are generally far more mild forms of an analogous process, in other words, a type of hypersensitivity reaction to substances that are around in peak concentrations in certain seasons of the year, like pollen from plants in spring and fall, or leaf mold in early spring after the snow melts and during the fall raking season. Our bodies have many mechanisms for protecting us from diseases, parasites, and irritants. Our immune systems include many different types of specific defense cells that are part of this complex response. There are multiple layers of immune system defenses, from the initial, general frontline defense that immediately blasts the invader, whoever it is, to production of very specific antibodies that take days to be created that target individual strains of viruses and bacteria. When we suffer from seasonal allergies, our bodies are reacting to pollen shed from flowers or leaf mold as if these things were harmful invaders that require a frontline defense, even though they really don't. This defense response is created in part by two types of cells that circulate in our bodies waiting to be triggered into action by an irritant. These cells, called mast cells and basophils, contain a host of noxious materials that stimulate an inflammatory allergic response. When they encounter an allergy-causing substance, these cells are triggered to release these materials. They release many chemicals, including histamines, that cause our runny, itchy eyes and nose, as well as increasing our blood vessel permeability, leading to redness and swelling, among other reactions. This is why allergy medications are so focused on antihistamine drugs. These are drugs that fight the final step in the cascade of allergic response. These drugs attach to the cell receptor sites that histamines bind to in the mucous membranes and other tissues in the body, and thereby prevent the histamine itself from binding to the cell and stimulating the inflammatory allergic reaction. But histamines are important compounds and play many roles in our bodies, as well as triggering allergic reaction symptoms. One of the reasons we get sleepy on many antihistamines is because of this. And our bodies continue to make the histamines, and eventually most people's bodies react to the lack of active histamine receptors and make even more histamine binding sites, rendering the antihistamine far less effective and potentially creating a significant rebound response when we try to go off the antihistamine, as all those new binding sites plus the old ones get filled with histamines. So using antihistamines alone is rarely a good long-term solution to dealing with seasonal allergies. Okay, so what do we do? Well, first let's talk about what the triggers are to think about how better to deal with the allergies. For many folks with seasonal allergies, the symptoms kick in spring and or fall. In early spring, it's generally in response to tree pollen from maples, birches, and oaks. In later spring and early summer, it's usually grass pollen. And in fall, late summer and early fall, it's most often ragweed pollen, not goldenrod. Ragweed is a nondescript, weedy little plant that flowers with tiny flowers at the same time the fields are full of the showy goldenrod flowers. But ragweed does not have tall stems with showy bright yellow flowers like the poor goldenrod that gets blamed for the problem. Because of climate change and other issues, ragweed season is now longer and more intense than it has been historically, making the fall allergy season more and more of a trial for many. And this year, it started particularly early and has been especially problematic because of the extended heat and drought, leaving ragweed pollen and dust hanging in the air together, a combination which can exacerbate symptoms dramatically. Another trigger in both fall and spring can be leaf mold. After the snow melts and the old moldy leaves are exposed, and in the fall, after the leaves fall and we begin to support mold growth in cooler, wetter weather, which we then distribute and disturb, making it easier to breathe in the mold as we rake and blow those leaves around. So what can we do about this? Well, there are several things that can help. Let's take a step back from that end response of just trying to block the histamines at the end of the response pathway and ask, how can we help our bodies begin to ramp down this sensitivity in general by strengthening health and reducing inflammation systemically? An allergic reaction is a significant inflammatory response triggered largely by the activation of the immune mast cells and their release of histamines and other inflammatory compounds. There are other processes that are part of this, but this is one of the primary aspects of the allergic response. We may never know exactly why a particular person with allergies has this hypersensitive inflammatory reaction to the specific triggers, but we can take steps to help ramp down the inflammatory response in general without waiting to respond to the end result. There are a number of things we can target. First, let's talk about diet. In addition to maintaining good nutrition, including plenty of fresh fruits and vegetables, we can avoid foods and behaviors that tend to increase and stimulate inflammatory responses in general. For those with allergic responses, it is especially useful to avoid foods with potential for increasing inflammation just prior to and during the seasons when their allergies usually kick in. So, for example, we can avoid nightshade family plants. That includes eggplants, tomatoes, peppers, and white potatoes. These plants in this family have secondary compounds that definitely promote inflammation systemically. Now, we know that the early fall allergy season very sadly coincides with the peak fresh garden tomato season. Oh no, that's a major willpower challenge. One way to deal with this is to make sure to avoid all the other nightshade family foods during the peak allergy tomato season and be a little disciplined about just how many tomato sandwiches you eat every week. I know that's a tough one, but think about how miserable you feel during an allergy attack and how this may help reduce those allergic symptoms to help motivate moderation on the tomato front. Dairy is another category of food that can promote inflammatory reactions, and consumption of dairy products tends to promote thicker and greater mucus production in most people. During the allergy season, that's the last thing you want to promote. Gluten can be another problematic food during allergy season. Gluten is found in grains like wheat and rye, and even if you are not someone with frank celiac disease, in other words, with a very serious allergy to gluten such that your body makes antibodies to the gluten, gluten can still heighten inflammatory and immune responses in your body. In today's food market of mostly genetically modified grains, most gluten-containing grains have higher gluten contents than the ancient traditional varieties, and they're grown with more pesticides, which can promote inflammatory responses in and of themselves. So it's wise to avoid or minimize gluten-containing foods during your peak allergy seasons. Most non-organically grown gluten-containing grains, like wheat, have been grown with high concentrations of glyphosate weed killer applied during the growing season. So, especially during spring and fall, choose quinoa or rice instead of couscous, oatmeal instead of cream of wheat, and buckwheat pancakes instead of buttermilk wheat pancakes. Now let's talk for a minute about wine and alcohol. Alcohol is inflammatory and potentially dehydrating and stresses the detoxification system of the body at the time your immune system is trying to cope with an allergic response. So it's best to avoid alcohol altogether during your spring or fall allergy seasons. What else can be helpful? Well, adequate hydration. Moist mucous membranes are better able to slough off irritants, and in general, well-hydrated physiology performs better. There is some controversy right now over the optimum amount of water to drink. And of course, there are some medical conditions which require limiting your fluid intake, so you should always follow your doctor's recommendations about that. But in an otherwise healthy adult, 6 to 8 glasses of water every day is a good goal, and in my clinical experience with patients, leaves people feeling better and more energized and with better immune function. Adequate rest is also very important. 8 hours of sleep every night is ideal. When we're sleep deprived, we are more likely to have a weakened, hypersensitive, or imbalanced immune reaction. So it's best to get a good night's sleep all the time, but especially during your allergy seasons. Adequate exercise is also very helpful. 20 to 30 minutes daily of regular aerobic exercise helps to balance immune function. In fact, if you remember from our last show, a 30-minute walk in the forest can result in improved immune function that lasts for an entire month. You intrigued by that idea? Go back and listen to the Your Health and Nature show for more details on this. It's quite spectacular. We also want to minimize stress during allergy season. When we're stressed, our sympathetic nervous system, that is, the side of the nervous system responsible for the fight or flight reaction, is stimulated. And it tips our system towards hyperreactivity, including inflammation and pain. Of course, minimizing stress is more easily said than done sometimes. We can't always control or prevent stressful events from happening in our lives. But what we can control is our response to those events, which helps keep our system vital. Deep breathing exercises, any meditative practices we may be familiar with, rhythmic exercises, work like yoga, tai chi, or qigong, any exercise in general helps relieve stress and maintain our own ability to keep perspective and remain stress-free so that our immune system functions optimally. There is a botanical supplement that can be helpful with seasonal allergies also that is called quercetin. Quercetin reportedly desensitizes the mast cells and has helped many, many of our patients to get partial or complete relief of seasonal allergies. It works farther back in the reaction chain to traditional antihistamines. If you're interested in this supplement, you should discuss it with your physician or come into our office before starting a trial. But it's useful to know that it's out there and it can be very helpful. Lastly, I want to talk about osteopathy itself. Osteopathic manual medicine can be very helpful in ramping down and even completely resolving seasonal allergies. Immune system organs, tissues, and cells are found throughout the body and are influenced by the state of health of all of those organs and tissues, including but not limited to your mucous membranes, sinuses, spleen, lymph glands, gastrointestinal system, which is a large part of our immune system, and lymphatic circulation. If these organs and tissues are under physical stress from reduced circulation due to chronic muscle spasm, connective tissue twists and strains, past trauma, surgical injuries that left scar tissue, or skeletal restrictions that limit their inherent motion or circulation, they cannot function optimally. For example, the sinuses that we are familiar with in our head that become congested, inflamed, and runny during an allergic attack are contained within an intricate network of our cranial bones that fit together in our head like the works of a very fine, delicate, jeweled watch. The inherent motion of these cranial bones helps to pump out the sinuses and maintain optimal circulation and reduce inflammation. If the motion of these bones is not optimal, the sinuses cannot drain as well as they should, leading to promotion of the congestion and inflammation. The gentle work of traditional osteopathy can help restore optimal motion to these bones and relieve sinus congestion and inflammation, as well as throughout the whole body. This is just one example of how we can help. So to review, Seasonal allergies are a hypersensitive reaction in the immune system to triggers like pollen and leaf mold that are not worthy of such a strong reaction. We don't know exactly why some folks suffer from seasonal allergies, but we do know that they can be heightened by pollution and particulate matter suspended in the air, such as during a drought. All the things that help keep our immune system and autonomic nervous system in balance can help to reduce and prevent seasonal allergy symptoms, including diet, sleep, exercise, hydration, and traditional hands-on osteopathic medicine. And meanwhile, we can also hope for some more good rain. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for your attention to Your Health with Dr. Kim Tripp. Remember, you can email your questions, comments, and suggestions for topics to yourhealth@robinhoodradio.com. If you have a health issue yourself and would like to find out about how we might be able to help you in our practice of traditional osteopathic medicine, we are at our offices in Sharon, Connecticut. Dr. Kim Tripp and Dr. Andrew Goldman, Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, 860-364-5990, Monday to Friday, 8:45 a.m. to 5 p.m., with evening hours Wednesdays and Fridays, or on the web at www.goldmantripp.net. Meanwhile, I'll be looking forward to being with you next time, every other Friday at 12:30 and Sundays at 5:30. Take care of yourself, enjoy your health, and thank you for listening.